Gar and I, as you know, as we sit here together and talk about this, we understand accountability, and we are accountable for what this team did this year. We don't run away from it. We accept it. That's on us.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA, your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
For me to be here in the NBA organization, such a historic organization, the Chicago Bulls, so it's just a dream come true for me.
Live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday.
This is going to be a process. You'll snap your fingers and it all happens at once, but that's the plan moving forward.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day. Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley, writer of Bulls basketball in the NBA at FanRag Sports and college hoops over at SB Nation. Along with me is Matt Peck, writer of Bulls basketball in the NBA at FanRag Sports and the host of the 312 show on AM 1590 WCGO in Chicago. Follow us on social media on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnChibles, and subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Make sure you're following the Locked On Podcast Network on Facebook and Twitter as well. 331-979-1369 is our line to text and call. Leave all of your voicemails. Remember, we're doing mailbag tomorrow, so make sure if you want to send a voicemail in and you want to hear it on the show tomorrow, send it in to us at 331-979-1369. You can always text your questions in as well as hit us up on social media. We'll be filtering through all of your questions and trying to make the mailbag segment the best one we've done so far. So leave us all your voicemails, your text, your questions on social media or at that line. Once again, 331-979-1369. Before we kick off the show, I want to remind all of our listeners out there that we are giving away a 16x20 photo of Dennis Rodman autographed as well. All you have to do is leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and leave us your favorite moment about Dennis Rodman, whether it's the reason why he was so great with that 90s Bulls team or something that you remember from when he played. Leave it there at iTunes.
Bring in world peace right now.
Leave it to us at iTunes or your favorite podcast provider. Screenshot that. You can actually text that screenshot, so it's easier than before. You can either email it to us or text it straight to us at 331-979-1369. We'll be drawing a winner on Friday, so make sure you get all those entries in. Matt, how are you? It's been a few days since we've conversed, and a lot of stuff has been going on with this Bulls team as we headed into the weekend with no shows, and then obviously we didn't do a show yesterday, but wanted to just say great job with the Casey Johnson interview. Hopefully everybody enjoyed that on Friday, and if you didn't see that episode this weekend, go back and listen to it. It was a fantastic interview. But Matt, how are you doing?
Doing all right, Jordan. What's up, Bulls Nation? Jordan, welcome back to the Windy City. Hope you enjoy your time down in Florida over the weekend. Yeah, it was a pleasure as always chatting with Casey Johnson. Definitely go check that out from Friday's episode if you haven't yet. Some interesting Bulls stories that panned out towards the tail end of last week. And then last night, Cubbies got a big-time extra innings win in Milwaukee to kick off their series against the Brewers to take first place back. Can't ask for much more on a Monday to start the week. I'm in a great mood. Let's freaking go.
So we've got a couple things planned this week, and just want to let our listeners in on some of the things that we're doing over here at Locked On Bulls as well as the Locked On NBA shows. So the entire Locked On Podcast Network, the NBA side of it, is doing mock drafts, and we're doing also Reddit AMAs, and there's a lot of really cool stuff that we're doing here on the Locked On Podcast Network. So this week, every single day starting on June 13th, going to be playing the picks that each team has made, 1 through 6, 7 through 10, et cetera, all the way through the first round. You'll be able to hear all of those picks and little tidbits from each podcast host and why they picked certain players and where they picked him and all of that. It's fantastic. So if you're not subscribed to the Locked On NBA show, I suggest you go do that over there. You'll get some insight from all the local experts around the Locked On Podcast Network, and we'll be there as well talking with Bulls fans and fans around the nation too that might not have the same type of insight that maybe Bulls fans here that are listening, as well as we're going to be doing a Reddit AMA. That's Thursday at noon Central Time, 1 p.m. Eastern. If you have any questions, we're going to be on Reddit's NBA page doing a live AMA talking about answering any of your Bulls questions. So make sure that Thursday afternoon, if you've got a question, something that we didn't get to on Mailbag on Wednesday, you head over to the Reddit AMA, the official NBA site on the Reddit page, and join our conversation on Thursday afternoon. It's going to be a whole lot of fun, and looking forward to just answering questions and interacting with Bulls fans some more. So a lot of really fun things that we're doing here at the Locked On Podcast Network, especially on the NBA side. So definitely stay tuned with us here. With that, we want to spend our first segment, as we tweeted out a little bit of a teaser this week and late last week, I should say, in this weekend, about us doing our mock draft. And Matt, I wanted to go through and just kind of talk through our ideas of who would be there at number seven, who we ended up deciding to take, and how things played out with some other teams ahead of us, one through six. So I guess we should start with the most obvious thing here is Trae Young being taken by the Memphis Grizzlies at number four, and then Wendell Carter taking at number six by the Orlando Magic in our NBA mock draft on Locked On Podcast Network. So as you saw that, what was running through your mind?
Yeah, that was definitely strange. I don't think anybody expected Trae to go that early in our Locked On mock draft. Most, you know, you and I have been talking about ideal scenarios where the Orlando Magic, who people have been talking about are high on taking a point guard this year, would take Trae Young at six, so the Bulls don't even have to worry about that possibility, because you and I both are in the camp that don't believe that he is what the Bulls need right now. And it's turned out that that opportunity wasn't even there for Orlando, because Memphis took him at four, which was really shocking. And then, of course, because Trae Young was no longer on the board, the next, I guess, not necessarily shock, but somewhat surprise, is that Orlando took Wendell Carter Jr. at six, who is definitely somebody that I would have considered the Bulls taking at seven. So Dallas did, as everybody has started to assume, take Mo Bamba at five, after the others, you know, Luka and DeAndre and Jaren Jackson went in the top three. So all of a sudden, that left us with Marvin Bagley still on the board at seven. And you and I had a quick conversation via DMs when it was our turn to be on the clock about, all right, well, I mean, do we take the guy who's probably got the highest upside here that's still on the board? How did Marvin Bagley slide all the way to us at seven? Or do we take the safe pick with Mikal Bridges? We went back and forth a few times. And, I mean, I think collectively, It made too much sense for us to pass on this kid. We've both talked about his worries on the defensive end and how he might fit playing alongside Lauri Markkanen in the Bulls front court as we're moving forward in this rebuild. But I mean, the upside with Bagley is just too high to pass up on at seven. I feel like that's kind of where we landed, right?
Yeah, I would definitely agree. So between you and I, we were going back and forth. So I guess what I should explain is who is available at number seven and what we were kind of going back and forth about. Mo Bamba was taken at five. There was no real surprises one through three. The most surprising was the Trae Young pick and then the Wendell Carter pick. Mo Bamba went at five, so we were floating the ideas between Marvin Bagley, Mikal Bridges, and a few others. Michael Porter Jr. obviously still being on the board there. So we were kind of going back and forth. And I know, Matt, you said you had some major concerns about Marvin Bagley's defense and whether or not he really fits with the Bulls, which I can completely understand. And I kind of had that feeling, too, as we were going back and forth. And you said that you felt like Mikal Bridges, where he was being picked and whatever was left on the board, felt like the most sensible pick at number seven and the best fit right away. To my arguments about liking Bagley at number seven is the fact that a guy with that much athleticism, the length that he has, and the potential upside too is what we were talking about, and best pick available, like Paxson has said continuously since the end of the season press conferences and all the shows that he's gone on so far talking about prospects. He said they're going to take the best player available at seven. Do you feel like if they do take Marvin Bagley here, which, you know, don't discredit anything that we've heard at the beginning of the NBA season, when there was reports about all these Bulls writers were saying, oh, we got a tank for Marvin Bagley. This is the guy that this is a no-brainer. I've heard a bunch of college analysts, too, talk about how they felt like Marvin Bagley and DeAndre Ayton were the two best prospects in this draft, which shocked me a ton that he would slide all the way down to 7. But as we were talking to some of our other friends at the Locked On Podcast Network, guys from the Orlando Magic, from the Dallas Mavericks as well, They said that they didn't feel like they would be surprised if Marvin Bagley slid out of the top 5 and maybe even to that number 7 slot. But I told you too, even if there is concerns about Marvin Bagley's defense and whether or where exactly he would play or fit on this Bulls team, I told you, you know, like worst case scenario, you take him there, and if he doesn't fit with the Bulls here, I mean, you can look to trade the guy too. And I'm not saying that you're going to draft Marvin Bagley and turn around and trade him right away, but that's the option there. You know, you've got a guy with a potential upside at 19. You also have the number 22 pick, which I wanted to throw out there as kind of a wedge to your argument about best fit at number 7. Having that number 22 pick in the back pocket and potentially maybe moving up from that pick or taking on another first-round pick, which the Bulls could definitely be in play for in the next couple of weeks, I felt like it was too big of a no-brainer to say, you know, we got to take Marvin Bagley here. Even if it doesn't seem like he fits right now, right away, next season, I think there's a lot of upside to Marvin Bagley's game, and it seems like, at least from what we heard on early on in the NBA season, the Bulls were really high on Marvin Bagley.
Yeah, and I think that's why, you know, ultimately that made the most sense for us, and I think that's what you would see the Bulls front office do if it actually came to that. As you mentioned, it's not just the insanely high upside that Bagley has. I mean, a big who loves to run the floor, has a high motor, a lot of things that fit well with Fred Hoiberg offensively. And the fact that they do have that pick at 22, where they're projected to be a lot of decent, you know, mid-tier wings hanging around. So between those two things and the fact that Paxson has gone on record once again this season to say, like, we're in no position to pick for need. We are, you know, this is a team that needs to add young talent. We will take the best player available, regardless of whether or not we have somebody in that position that we, you know, on our roster already. So while there may be some legitimate concerns about how Bagley and Markkanen might fit together on the floor, if somehow this actually panned out the way it did in our Locked On draft, mock draft, and Bagley does slide to the Bulls at 7, they have to take him. They absolutely have to take him, and I think they would.
Yeah, I think it's a no-brainer at that point. It's like, okay, you're going to pick between a guy that potentially has some back concerns and still don't really know about him, and then Mikal Bridges as well, which is kind of more the sure bet, it seems like. It can be a guy that can plug and play right away, but to me, like, you're in the second year of a rebuild. You don't really need a guy that you need to plug and play right away. And I guess I understand your concerns about fit too, but my argument to that is, think about it. If the Bulls take Marvin Bagley at 7, he's not going to start right away, so it's not going to be a concern whether or not him and Markkanen can play side by side together, whether that can work. You remember, we still got Robin Lopez on this roster, and I would place all my bets on saying that Robin Lopez is going to start the season if they do take a big man, and he can learn by playing in the second unit, playing alongside Bobby Portis too in that second unit, getting some time to develop his defensive game and learn some tricks of the trade from other guys. And I get it, he's skinny, he's a little bit underweight, but the potential upside at Duke and maybe some of the defensive concerns there too, I think I would still be okay with taking Marvin Bagley, and it's certainly a no-brainer to any Bulls fans out there. And like, I can't see the argument of taking Mikal Bridges over Marvin Bagley should both of those guys be available there. And I know some Bulls fans are going to be angry who want Michael Porter Jr. here no matter what, but then the question I got to pose to Bulls fans is, like, if Marvin Bagley slid all the way to number 7 the way he did in this Locked On NBA mock draft, would you take Marvin Bagley over Michael Porter Jr.?
Absolutely.
Or are there Bulls fans still saying out there no matter what?
Even though Michael Porter Jr.'s position probably fits in a little bit more to what the Bulls need right now, assuming that he could play at the wing next to Markkanen at the 4, absolutely I'm taking Bagley over Michael Porter Jr. Look, and you could call me skeptical and you can call me pessimistic, but as high as everybody was on Michael Porter Jr., when he was coming out of high school, I'm sorry, but a 19-year-old kid with back problems scares the living shit out of me. And I, and if he proves the doubters wrong and turns out that the back injury and the back surgery was a one-time thing and he goes on to have a great NBA career, and I said, nah, you know what? I'll take a pass. Sue me. I don't care. Right now, the Bulls cannot afford to bust on this pick. And the a young man who already has back problems has potential bust written all over it, and I am scared to death of that.
So he had his combine in his pro day, too. The one other thing that Michael Porter Jr. that stuck out to me this weekend was the report about him potentially only giving his medical information to teams that are legitimately interested in drafting him. And I found that a little bit strange, and that was coming from his father once again. Do you find that at all strange that his father is doing a lot of the talking for Michael Porter Jr. as his draft stock is there? Obviously, it's not a situation like your boy LaVar Ball and his son Lonzo and all of them.
I was just going to say, man, I mean, his dad might not be as loud and as boisterous as LaVar, but it certainly seems to have a similar element of, you know, father speaking for son going through the draft process. Yeah, I mean, it's
stay in your lane
correlation, but it's not anything like LaVar being like, I'm going to make my rounds on every ESPN talk show and be obnoxious as I possibly can be on every single one.
You are a hater.
But I do think there is a little bit of that, and that's something we talked about last week, too, when talking about projected draft picks that would be there for the Bulls at 7. We've heard more and more that there's kind of a diva aspect to Michael Porter Jr. going around. And between the back problem and that, That's not a guy that I'm dying to draft.
Yeah,
right,
and look,
now.
I don't think you and I both think that it's a terrible pick should the Bulls take Michael Porter Jr. at 7. However this shakes out, I don't think that you and I are even remotely saying that. And I think some of our listeners over the last couple of weeks may feel like we are super down on Michael Porter Jr. Look, I told you that the most disappointing pick I would be in is Trae Young at number 7. I just don't see it for the Bulls as far as fit in need and best player available at number 7. I told you I'm willing to say that if the Bulls front office wants to take a swing and try to hit a home run with this one and Michael Porter Jr. is their guy at number 7, I'm fine with that. Like, the potential upside is definitely there, and I can look at the positives just as much as I can look at the negatives too. And I think you and I are both in the same boat about that. But just putting everything on the table so Bulls fans fully understand everything that goes into not only the positives and the upside, but also the negatives that might come with the possibility that he could bust out, as well as the possibility that he could turn into an NBA star and his back could be completely fine. And it could go both ways. So that's why we're just laying everything out for Bulls fans, not saying necessarily one way or the other. I just more so just want people to understand the full scope of what it would entail drafting a guy with back injuries and everything else that this roster has on it, too, as far as concerns with Zach LaVine coming off an ACL injury and all those other things that you have to consider when talking about drafting a guy at 19 with some back concerns and some diva aspects as well to him. Think about the culture in the locker room as well. So all things that you just should keep in mind, not necessarily saying that we're down on Michael Porter Jr. or that we'd be pissed off that when they
no,
take him.
No, but your original question was if Bagley and Porter are both still there, are you taking Bagley over Porter? And my answer is, despite the fit, absolutely 100% yes.
Yeah, I'm taking Bagley.
Because Marvin Bagley has not had back surgery. That it's as simple as that.
I'm taking Bagley over Michael Porter Jr. too, if both of those are available at number 7. And look, if that ends up happening, what's there to say that the Bulls don't try to swing a move to try and move up to either take Mikal Bridges if he does slide all the way to projected number 9 or number 10? What's to say the Bulls don't try to move up and take that guy there? You know, there is a few assets and there are teams still in the late lottery that are looking to get out of the lottery by unloading some of these bad contracts. We talked about Denver and Kenneth Faried there. There's other teams that might look to be trying to make moves to unload some contracts. So if in fact the Bulls do end up with Marvin Bagley at number 7 the way it shook out in the NBA mock draft, there's other moves that can be made. And I think the Bulls front office would definitely look at that and say, okay, there's other guys that are slipping and maybe we can move back up into the lottery for an additional pick using that number 22 pick to try and move up and maybe some of the other assets. And I hate to say it, but if they are going to talk about trades, Bobby Portis might be on the table, Denzel Valentine might be on the table, and what we heard about Chris Dunn too, whether or not you believe that, we're going to get into that in a minute. But all those guys could be on the table if the Bulls really feel like there's another guy in this late lottery that they want to draft and want to move up
for. Yeah, you know how I feel about that. I mean, you're not wrong. You're not wrong in that it's something the Bulls front office might be considering if there's a wing projected to go in the teens as opposed to the early 20s that they really, really want. And then you're right. It just comes down to, well, who would they be willing to sacrifice to move up like 8 or 10 spots to take that guy? But I think if the Bulls aren't taking Mikal Bridges at 7, if that's not the pick, he will be gone by 10. I truly believe that he, you know, whether it's Philadelphia or the New York Knicks, either of those teams are going to take Bridges. That's my hunch.
Yeah, I think so too. We got to take a short break here on Locked On Bulls. When we come back, I want to talk about this bizarre Chris Dunn report that happened on Friday that we didn't get to touch on this weekend. Definitely some interesting notes from that. We have a voicemail that kind of coincides with that. So stay right here with us at Locked On Bulls. Be back in 60 seconds.
Howdy, fellas. It's Mike again. It's been a little while. I was out this weekend in downtown Chicago at the Hangy Uppie, and I ran into none other than Gar Foreman, Matt. He told me to tell you he appreciates you sticking up for him on the podcast. And he also mentioned something about having some DVR'd episodes of the show Frasier that he said that you guys get together and watch, and that he is waiting on a call back or something. I don't know what that's about. But anyway, Matt loves Frasier and Gar Foreman. Alright, so here's my thing for the day. The other day I saw an article about Chris Dunn, potentially the Bulls brass being unhappy with his work ethic, which is, I mean, stunning to me just based on the fact that I feel like that's been that guy's MO since anybody knew who he was his work ethic, and I thought that was why they liked him in the first place. So I messaged Jordan on Twitter, and I said, is this really a thing? And Jordan brings to my attention the fact that there are sports writers and sports analysts or whatever out there that apparently publish things for nefarious reasons, like to try to get clicks. Now, I'm not saying I wasn't aware of this. I guess I just didn't realize that they would flat out fabricate or flat out manipulate information to potentially get people to click on an article. And to me, that's despicable. And I'm sure both of you guys agree. Even Matt being the Gar-forming, supporting guy that he is, I think he would even agree with this. And of course, I'm kidding, Matt. I'm just giving you a hard time. But seriously, I think you guys would agree that that's despicable. I mean, the fact that somebody could publish, you know, oh, God, Bulls are fed up with Chris Dunn's lack of a work ethic, and I mean, they flat out, I mean, this sounded to me like this was not speculation. It sounded like this was something that was common knowledge and very frustrating to the Bulls brass. And I mean, certainly the fan base reads that, and you know, that's something that, especially in a city like Chicago, people are not going to take kindly to. And that's something that could get a guy run out of town, all because some asshole can't come up with anything better to write about. So he's got to sit there and go, oh God, how can I manipulate all my readers into clicking on my articles? Because I can't come up with anything better to write about than to make something up about, you know, a good guy, a hardworking guy, a guy who's made huge improvements. Anyway, man, I'm rambling, but that shit really bothers me. And I know, you know, we got the draft coming up. I know there's a lot going on, but if you guys have a time where you want to dedicate some time on the pod to talking about just the sports writing culture, credibility, lack of credibility, what would prompt somebody to fish for clicks like that and do it at the expense of somebody's reputation? I would love to hear what you guys think.
All right, thanks to our loyal listener in Mike, who is one of our best callers, too, leaving us voicemails. Once again, if you want to do that, 331-979-1369. We'll be getting to all of our more voicemails on Wednesday's episode, so that's tomorrow. Make sure you get those in if you want to leave us a voicemail. Have any questions, text, you can send it to us over there at 331-979-1369. So this is a multi-part question. First, Matt, are you hanging out with Gar Foreman, going to watch movies with him and stuff?
I don't know what Mike's talking about. Don't know what Mike is talking about. Pulling my leg. Just because every once in a while on this show, I play devil's advocate, a position that nobody in Bulls Nation wants to play. I do it because I can take it. And if you want to throw BS arguments at me and false claims about me being a Gar Forman lover, fine. But someone every once in a while has to play the devil's advocate side of things. Otherwise, it's just an ongoing, boring, one-sided narrative where everybody is just shouting FireGar packs into the dead night air, and it gets real old real fast.
So this is a multi-level question, too. Beyond that, talking about this report from Joe Colley of the Chicago Sun-Times, talking about how the Bulls feel like they're disappointed in the way Chris Dunn has started the offseason as far as his work ethic, and take it for what it is, and this is what I'm going to say about just reports in general leading up to the draft, and this will get into the conversation talking about clickbait articles and writers writing headlines to try and just get clicks. Not saying that Joe Colley is doing this at all, because Joe Colley's been on the beat for the Bulls for a long time. And, you know, there's reporters out there that swing and miss all the time, that write articles that might not be true or hear things that don't end up being formulated. I'm not discrediting Joe Colley at all, because we've used his reports on this show a bunch of times and it's turned out to be true. I look back at the report he talked about how Jimmy Butler wanted to play with Kyrie Irving, and those conversations that formulated over the next couple of months, it hinted at that, yeah, that was true back when Kyrie Irving was still on the Cavaliers and the Bulls still had Jimmy Butler and they were still figuring out whether they were going to hit the button on rebuilding or try to bring in another star. So in that sense, there are reporters out there who do get good information and write good articles. But at the same time, leading up to draft time and in this sort of dead period and just talking about outlets in general, you're going to get that. You're going to get places where they're talking about headlines where they might steer you in the wrong direction. When you click on the article, it's 200 or 300 words of nonsense that didn't even make sense with the headline. So that happens all the time. But let's get back to this report about Chris Dunn. Are you buying this at all, that the Bulls feel like they're disappointed in the way Chris Dunn has worked? Because to me, this entire season, Chris Dunn, I felt like has worked hard to bust his ass to try to get his swagger back the way that Casey Johnson had said on Friday. And he had these freak injuries where, you know, going up for the dunk, hanging on the rim, slamming his face into the United Center floor. He had the weird fracture in his finger early on in the season. I don't know if I can completely 100% buy that the Bulls are not are disappointed or displeased with the way Chris Dunn has worked out this season and the way he's...
No. Well, hold on, Jordan. We need to make something clear. The report was that they are less than pleased with what he has done this off season so far. Not the season he put forth, but what the work he has done this off season, which is only about a month old. I think it was more along the lines talking about how frequently he's been at the Advocate Center working out. Has he been working on his game with people on Fred Hoiberg's staff? Has he been doing the things that he needs to do through an offseason to come back the next season a better basketball player? That's what the report is. It was not about Chris Dunn's performance through the season. The key word is offseason. So the way I interpreted it was the Bulls have seen Chris Dunn's offseason thus far as being, shall we say, a little lazy.
And my point was, no, like everything that leads up to that, it doesn't scream to me that Chris Dunn would be the type of guy to be lackadaisical with his offseason, especially being a guy that still needs to prove something and still needs to prove himself. Think about Chris Dunn's age, too, and only being in the second season, being two seasons in the NBA with two different teams. And that's my point about the season in general is there was nothing this season that told me that Chris Dunn was a guy that wasn't going to work hard. Every comment that he's made, the way that he played on the floor, doesn't lead me to believe that this report is true in the offseason. So take it for what you think it is. But to me, I'm not really buying the fact that the Bulls, maybe they are displeased a little bit and maybe they don't like the way he is working out. I can't 100% speak on that. But everything that leads up to that and the things that we do know about Chris Dunn leads me to believe that this isn't really true. Go back to even the reports about his upbringing and how he got to college and all those stories that we talked about back in November and December when we talked about Chris Dunn and sort of his background. That doesn't, those don't add up to me. For me, that doesn't add up at all.
It's fair. It's fair to say that what we've seen from Chris Dunn in the season and what we know about him and his character don't add up to that report from Cali making sense about the fact that the Bulls have looked at his offseason thus far as, I mean, and he didn't even use the word lazy, but that's what it sounded like. Basically, it sounded like his report was saying the Bulls front office and coaching staff thinks that Chris Dunn has been lazy so far this offseason. And you're right, it doesn't necessarily add up. And let me just reiterate something that Casey Johnson said on the show last Friday when I asked him about this. And first, of course, Casey's answer was, well, this wasn't my report, so I can't speak that specifically to it. But if it were me, and I'm hearing this in late May, early June, that's not a big deal. If this is something that is lingering, and we're hearing more and more about this as the summer goes on, and as the Bulls are coming into training camp, this is something that hasn't gone away, but in fact amplified in volume, then it might be an issue, and it might be a story. But if it's something that's just tossed out there as, hey, this is something that I learned or heard today in early June, when the offseason hasn't even really gotten into full swing, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, and to go to the other side about this and whether or not this could be true, if you're talking about whether or not there's any truth behind this, you know, we had the report from Vincent Goodwill that said the Bulls were enamored with Trae Young and they really liked Colin Sexton. So that plays into the factor, too, that maybe this there is a little bit of truth to this about Chris Dunn. But everything that's led me to believe about Chris Dunn and what to believe about his work ethic and his play tells me that this there's no way that this can be true. And I don't understand this, and maybe we'll get a little bit more information and maybe we'll understand a little bit more in a couple weeks when the Bulls do draft in less than 14 days when they do draft, if they do end up taking a guard, that maybe that speaks volumes to whether or not this report is true or not. But remember again, everything that you read leading up to the draft now, 10 days out, 14 days out, whatever it is, this could be a ton of misinformation, and multiple reporters with a ton of credibility have said the same thing. They're going to leak stories out there, so there's narratives that maybe they want to deter some teams from, or they want fan bases to start talking about something different. This happens all the time. This happens every single year where there's articles out there where they're trying to bait people in to thinking one thing and it really turns out to be the other. So just take everything that you read over the next 10 days or so leading up to the draft. Take that with a grain of salt.
And Jordan, you touched on this a little bit in your first remarks, but to sort of piggyback off of that and that part of Mike's question about it seems as if Mike just couldn't believe that certain media outlets would put eye-grabbing headlines on things that maybe weren't necessarily true or at least misleading for the sake of getting people to click on. Oh my goodness, how Mike, you sweet, sweet summer child. Yes, of course that happens. Clickbait is a thing. In the world of modern sports media, that is a lot of how this works. And the reason for it is ad revenue. More clicks, more traffic to your site, higher payouts for the people paying for ad space on your website. That's how it works. And speaking from personal experience, and I'm not going to name these people by name, but if you have followed my young career as somebody who's been writing about the Bulls for the last few years, where I got my start is a place where I had to deal with that every day. And the fact that I would write what I thought was good, earnest, well thought out and well written material and content about the Bulls. And then I would hand it over and they would slap a horrible, disgusting, clickbaity headline on it and then throw it up on their various social media and all get all sorts of comments saying, oh my gosh, what a trash clickbait headline. And I would want to say, I know it's a BS headline, but just it's good content. Please just read my content. It's good. And I didn't put that BS headline on it. I was forced to. So yes, it's frustrating. As somebody in this business, it is frustrating as all hell that a lot of sports media outlets now are focusing on generating clicks and generating traffic, because that is how modern sports media on the internet makes money. And it sucks that that's the way it works. And there are some people that are trying to fight it. And Jordan and I have said it before on this show, and we've had people from The Athletic on this show, Steph, Darnell. The Athletic is doing wonderful things to kind of fight that trend right now. But that's the way it works. And it's sad and it's ugly, but that's the way it works.
That's one thing that I think you and I have committed to on this podcast, is to never mislead Bulls fans out there and to just say how it is. And like, we're not trying to get you guys to listen to this episode because of an outrageous headline or to mislead you on any information out there. We just give you guys the facts and our opinions and the way it goes. That, to me, is the most frustrating thing about this business and sports media in general, the way social media is the inability to pay good writers to write quality content without having to do this thing with the headlines where it's clickbait and it ends up being all less than 100 words on a page of a report that you probably read a million different times. Like, I think I see 5, 10, 15, 20, depending on how long I scroll through Twitter or look through Apple News. There's a bunch of headlines all over across. And this is just not even in sports. This is just in media in general, is clickbait happens all the time. And it's the most frustrating thing about this, too, is, you know, you talk about as a reader, too, somebody that you and I think one of the frustrations comes from all the ad pop-ups, too, that come from some of these websites. It's just frustrating to see that that's the way that that sports media and media in general has gone so far. I'm hoping we can kind of get out of that hole, but you brought up The Athletic too. And it's funny because very well-established news sites and well-established media outlets, even in the city, are starting to do more clickbaity stuff because they're not getting the traction they once did. And that's not to discredit any writer out there that's in any media outlet, a major media outlet, whether it's the Chicago Tribune, the Chicago Sun-Times, the Daily Herald, or even radio or TV. That's not to discredit any of those writers too. Just to more so to ask questions and keep that in mind when you're reading things about not only the draft, but everything too. Like everything that goes into the Chicago Bulls or to anything that you're reading now. Nowadays, is you just got to keep that in mind, is whether or not you believe the headline and if it's true or not when you're reading through some of these articles. But it definitely happens, and it happens all the time. And I feel like some people out there who aren't in the business or aren't trying to get into the business or just looking for quality content can get duped by this all the time. And it's sad that some media outlets have to go to that in order to get their writers paid, in order to get traction on their websites. And it sucks.
Yeah, it does. And to cap that conversation off, just another reminder to Mike and anyone else out there who digests a lot of Bulls news from all over the place and isn't necessarily sure who's reliable, who's not. You and I have said this catchphrase on the show before, Cowley gonna Cowley. So just beware. And among all of the major Chicago sports media outlets that exist, Cowley, even before clickbait was really a thing, and Cowley's been around at the Sun-Times for a long time, has a bit of a reputation to print things that others that cover the Bulls beat are not willing to print or are not daring enough to print. And sometimes he's right about that stuff, and sometimes he's wrong. But just know that if it's a piece, in this case it was about Chris Dunn and the Bulls being upset with Chris Dunn, if it's a piece from Joe Cowley that has a pretty outlandish headline and some outlandish claims in the body of the material, just remind yourself, sometimes Cowley gonna Cowley. Before you press the panic button on Twitter, remind yourself who you're getting that information
from. And look, his nickname on 670 The Score, which he's a frequent guest on some of those shows there, is White Lightning. Like, they call him that because he's not...
He stirs the pot, man. Like, that's what he does.
And I'd love to have him on the show. I know we haven't had him as a guest, but I'd love to talk to him more about some of these headlines and some of these stories that he has written about the Bulls and the way he's covered the team over the last few years. I'd love to get him on the show, too. So that's going to be something Matt and I are going to try to do, see if we can get a little bit more information, not only for you guys, but for us, too, in general. But yeah, that is one thing, and it's not a common theme. It's not like we're hating on Joe Cowley here at all.
No.
It's a common theme.
He plays a role. In Bulls media, he plays a role, and he plays a role that a lot of his colleagues aren't willing to play. So you have to respect him for that, if not anything else. And yeah, I would love to have him on the show. I also would love to have him on the show so I can ask him how he feels about the catchphrase, Cowley gonna Cowley. And whether or not he takes that as a compliment or an insult.
That's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Remember, we're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. Follow us on social media on Twitter, at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck. Like us on Facebook, Facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls, and subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Doing mailbag tomorrow, 331-979-1369. All of your questions, texts, and voicemails, we'll be playing a ton of those tomorrow as well. So I already have some really good ones in. So if you want to leave us a voicemail, we'd love to hear it from you. Text as well, or hit us up on social media as well, on Twitter or Facebook. For Matt Peck, for Jordan Malley, Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. We'll be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com, part of FanRag Sports.